Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is July 14th, 2021. This is the AEW Dynamite Fighter Fest post-show for Fightful.com. We have so much stuff on Fightful this week. Earlier this week, we dropped an interview with Willie Mack. He is wrestling at Slammiversary this week. By the way, I'll be at Slammiversary. I'll be on the scene bringing you guys exclusive news, all kinds of stuff. I am very excited for that. Things are getting a little more normal now. In addition to that, we have an interview with Natalia dropping on Thursday. And then on Friday, we got Wesley Blake. And that's in addition to two interviews that we dropped last week. Buddy Murphy and Adam Cole blew up on our channel, over 40,000 views. I want to thank you all so much. Also, over 40,000 of you joined our Conor McGregor absolute meltdown watch along, where we watched him just shrink into a corn cob in front of our very eyes. Thank you for all the love you guys are showing us. And I posted a thread on Twitter today. I wanted to say thank you guys. Fightful has had its most successful period in a really trying time for a lot of other people. That is not lost on me. Thank you guys so much for supporting us so much now. And obviously the world isn't completely back to normal yet, but it's starting to feel a little more normal. And I want to thank all of you that supported us, whether you just watched a show, you donate super chats, you subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, which you know I'm going to tell you more about later. But thank you guys so much. I mean it an awful lot. I know sometimes I get sassy on here, but we keep long hours here, and we would rather be doing nothing else. Alex is here right now while literally his favorite NBA team is in a two-point game at the half in the NBA Finals. So,
considering how poorly we played in the first quarter, that's a victory. So, I'm just going to kill some time, not worrying about it for the next hour, and then I'll watch the fourth quarter and chew my nails down to the bone. So,
well, guys, please leave a thumbs up. Please subscribe. Tap that bell for notifications. We still have a post-show Friday, even though I'm in Nashville, Robert and Jeremy. Then next week, I'll be in Denver. I have an honest-to-God weekend off. Pineapple Pete is joining Robert. Shug Dunkerton, who, if you've watched AEW, you know who he is. I'm so excited for that. But get your super chats in right now, guys. Kylie says, long live Fightful. Well, long live you, by God. Thank you all so much. And Daniel R. says, Darby, Jungle Boy, Hangman, Sammy, and MJF, who else will lead AEW into the future, and which of those five are most important? Well, we got Robert DeFelice here, who does all kinds of writing for us. Robert, who do you think's the most important here?
MJF by far, but Jungle Boy is right there. I think they will spearhead the future, and Sammy's not too far behind.
Well, this is quite the show. This show is a really good example, regardless of what happens Friday, Sunday, and Monday with WWE, that when you book a cohesive, consistent product that rewards viewers, people get over. And they get over really, really well with a hot crowd. I I didn't realize how much I missed people moving around in the background of wrestling matches and standing up and cheering. Boris says the crowd was amazing, lifted every single segment. They did. And boy, well, we be talking about that. Intangible One Clipbeard says Jesus even made the trip. Yeah, he came there to support Sting, who, you know, is a great follower of his. Also, they went to elementary school together. So that was great to see. It was amazing.
That's just not true, Sean. He came there to support Miro. Okay, he gives him a brand new title.
Acquaintances along the way. I'm pretty sure that Sting introduced Miro to Jesus, close personal friend. And Jesus is like, no, I'm a huge fan of yours, actually. And that's the way it went down. Let's go ahead and talk about that. Miro has a new championship, Robert, a white one. I'm a sucker for white secondary title belts.
With the green accent, it's exclusive to him, I take it. He is the Redeemer now. This is the third redesign. I like this one the most. It looks the most unique for this company. So this is really nice.
Evan Wright says, genuinely an all-time episode of Dynamite. And like this title belt, which is usually, you know, might be the top news item on a lot of other shows that we cover in general. It's number five or six, Alex.
Yeah. No, I mean, like everybody will have their own things that they rank the top stuff. This was an amazing episode of Dynamite. Miro's promo, that little highlight package with his promo, might have been like top two for me of the entire night, just because how much I love the stuff he's doing. He's so in his element, and the way he starts out. There once was a man who had a hot wife who could do the splits. The man was hot too, but he couldn't forgive himself. But he had lost sense of who he was. Like that, all that thing was. But then he ends it with, they say that a great champion must be willing to defend his title with his life. I am willing to defend my title with yours. Like, that's amazing. I just love this guy so much. When's the next title defense? I gotta see more Miro in action. I love it.
Oh, guys, remember, get your super chats in. Thank you all so much for already sending so many. Nikolai says, I noticed a noticeable lack of Gang Wars tweets from SRS tonight. Let's hope it stays the norm. Oh, there were still some. I was just busy with a very good episode of Dynamite. There still were some. But, I mean, ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, when it's surrounded by the type of knockout show that we had tonight, it's like, I mean, do I not like the trope? Of course. But can I handle it when the show is this good? Yes, I can definitely handle it. We have a bunch more super chats just about how good the show is. Ricardo says the show hummed so hard. And you know what? I'll say gently in the places where it needed to be gentle. You don't always have to go just hard.
Yeah.
Balls to the wall.
Balls galore.
Yes. Balls galore. Oh, great. Brian Mahoney says AEW Dynamite, the show where everything is over. Even like the stuff that I didn't think would be over was over. And Nikolai says, I love that the one attempt at a what chant was killed. Yes, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. Robert, that was very promising to me.
Yeah, I want more killing of the what chants. This needs to stop. I don't want to see it. It's been 20 years. Just kill it.
Oh, and we got started off with a great match, Alex. Machine Gun Carl Anderson lost to John Moxley, IWGP US title match. And they knocked the hell out of each other. Carl Anderson spams neck breakers and cutters like he's Rasta from Saturday Night Slam Masters. And I'm here for it. I love it. I've always loved it. I think sometimes people forget that Carl Anderson can go and how well he can go. And then you see a match like this and you're like, oh, yeah, that's what every wrestling company he's ever worked for has seen in him. Plus that vivid personality. Alex, this was a perfect way to start off this night, I thought.
Yeah, also, you know, I'm never going to get tired of Moxley entering to that Wild Thing cover in front of fans. Like, yes. A packed house just like going crazy for it. And it's amazing how the songs that Tony Khan has said, okay, we're going to take that one, or that one, that we're going to pay money for these things so we can play them in front of fans and have them sing along. Like, that's great.
And I actually don't think the song fits at all. And now... But like somehow because it doesn't fit,
yeah.
It, you know what I mean? Like, it's agreed. So weird. It like it would not fit him at all.
No,
but would that have really ever fit Ricky Vaughn in Major League? Not really. But true. Then it did. So, yeah. Man, this is fantastic.
There's something about it that I think may be lost on some people, but I'm keeping an eye on it for the future. Moxley in fatherhood, maybe putting on a little extra weight around the middle. It's okay. It happens to the best of us. Happened to me. Just decided to buzz the hair. Is he slowly turning into an Eddie Kingston clone? Are they doing with like a single white female story here? Something to keep an eye on for the future. I like it.
Listen, he already showed off on the Renee podcast. He's wearing Nike Air Monarchs. He is in full dad mode now.
Yeah, yeah.
He really is. So Valab says, haven't seen G1 finalist Carl Anderson in a while. Evan Wright says somebody should check on Joe Hulbert after that opener. And Ricardo says it's my first experience with the machine gun. Robert, this bodes well. I mean, I like this because the IWGP US title isn't an AEW title, but like, why not defend it if you can get the clearance and add some stakes to any type of match?
To any type of match. And this was planned for Wrestle Kingdom before COVID. John Moxley has said in the past he was supposed to run roughshod in Japan. Carl Anderson was supposed to return home the hero and beat him for it, but this was a different story. This is my first real look at the machine gun live because this is a great match. Tributes to Albert with the Bernard driver. I like that. Sometimes you forget that, you know, Albert and machine gun were close. It's a great match. He's going to top it next week with Lance Archer in a Texas death match of all things.
This was just fantastic stuff. And then, like, as you mentioned, Lance Archer later challenged him to a Texas death match next week. Okay. Stack it up. Why not? AEW's got such a big roster. They can stack almost everything. I'm interested to see how it'll play out with Rampage, but I love this booking. I'm all for the match. I dig it. We've got a lot of people that are very, very excited about Andrade calling out Death Triangle. Get the hose. Intangible wants him to take the U.S. title from Mox eventually. If they can work that out, I would say so. Evan Wright says, Andrade calling out Death Triangle is insane. We will get back to the additional super chats about Moxley, by the way, guys. But Dante V says, Andrade El Idolo plus Death Triangle equals L.I.J. and AEW. He never said why he was looking for them. That's the nuance, Alex, and I love it.
Yeah, I kind of love the idea of Andrade calling out Pac to fight for custody of Penta and Rey Fénix. I mean, or maybe they all go together. Maybe he says, "No, I like two points of the triangle, but you don't fit." I mean, that might be interesting too. Or, you know, he could have one-on-one matches with all three of them. I don't care. This is a wonderful. The thing about it is they have Andrade and Black who debuted very close to each other. And you, what you say is you don't want these guys to come over from WWE and immediately get title shots. Sure. So they got to have something to do. So what do we have to do? We got Malakai Black who's in there, who's in a program with Cody, which is always going to be a top program, even if it doesn't have the belt attached. And let's figure out where can we put Andrade El Idolo where he's going to have banger matches. Potentially three of them with a super over trio who also isn't involved with the titles. This is a perfect place to slot Andrade El Idolo. I can't wait.
Factions are good, but I'm really over the Lucha Bros and Blade and Butcher just kind of being shuffled around between leaders. I hope they make a stance and wherever they end up, it's permanent.
I agree. I completely agree. New Punk Rant says AEW was nuts. I needed a cigarette. I had that feeling after the show. I was like, damn, that was really, really good. We have Terrence Robinson says, is it me or was almost everyone over? Tonight might be the best testament of AEW pushing their young talent. Their young core is staggering. And then they can mix in people like Matt Hardy and Christian Cage, which we saw on this show. A fine match. A solid match. I do think that Christian went from getting his ass beat to winning a little quick, but this was a fine match. Robert, I know that you would realize this because I probably posted it somewhere in our chat, but Alex, This was the first one-on-one TV match they've had in 18 years. They only had two of them ever. That's mind-boggling.
Which is why it is funny the way that they chose to tell that story, which is Christian has never defeated Matt Hardy one-on-one. Yes. Well, he only had two shots at it. So I feel like you could tell the story of this is only the third one-on-one match these two guys have had, which is crazy considering how many feuds they had when they were younger as part of tag teams, and also just how long both of them have been in the business. Christian Cage has been out of the business for a while. We never thought he was going to come back. So the fact that this is a monumental kind of a thing of facing off of these two guys, it's weird to tell the story of he's never defeated Matt Hardy before. I mean, yes, and there's other things you could say too, but I did enjoy the match.
Yeah, Robert, I dug this match too, and Christian was going to win. We know that, but Hardy's kind of given a lot of people something to do right now.
Yeah, this was a really fun match. And for me, it's fun to see these guys working almost a territorial style wrestling match when at one point they were the high flyers and the new age guys, and now they're just working a really grounded match.
Hey, the people that all the old timers said they were going to be done in a few years. And hey, to their credit, Christian kind of was, but he's back.
And, you know, you would think about it. Matt should have been done, but he's still kicking. And he's still going. This match was really fun. I do agree that Christian sort of woke up and just hit the unprettier real too quick. And I could have seen this match go an extra 5 minutes or so.
Shanika said, let's go Death Rhombus.
Yes, Death Rhombus.
I love it. Luis says, Andrade calling out Death Triangle with the heavy accent sounded so good. Man, he sounds effortlessly cool, that guy. Probably because he is. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's because he is. Evan Wright or BFG says, this show was awesome. Your all show is awesome. Joined Twitter a month ago and was shocked that AEW hate is real even after a show like that. Man, ultimately, enjoy what you like. Dislike what you want to like. If you want to dislike this show, have at it. I don't give a shit. Go for it. But yeah. Wrestling Rambles in the chat. Go check out her live streams, guys. She is a lot of fun. We also had some super chats about the Moxley match. Glad they let Mox and Carl have an OBS match. And William Buttlicker says Machine Gun can go. Boy, is he underrated. Thank you for your insight, William Buttlicker. You know, we'll just call you Bill Buttlicker, Billy Buttlicker, because you're a friend now. Anakin says Miro put the Bulgaria crest and colors on the new belt. I kind of like the idea of each person
getting
to add their flair to it. I think that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, no, the idea like, you could have your own side plates. Hold my beer, you can have your own belt. Like, I'm totally here for that.
I mean, Warrior customized it like six times. There These people go. Can't do it like once?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Oh, boy. Oh, let's talk about what a difference a white-hot crowd makes. Ricky Starks defeated Brian Cage to become the new FTW champion, and this was masterful booking to put this in Texas. Ricky Starks' return match, an unsanctioned match or an unsanctioned title, so it doesn't matter that Ricky hasn't wrestled a long time. The title's not even sanctioned, but this was, I thought, a solid match that became a special moment in AEW history because of the crowd, because of where it was at, because of who was in it. Robert, this was a special moment to me. Luis Hernandez says, Ricky Starks is a star, great performance. You know, there were plenty of spots in the match I was like, but that didn't matter. Because by the end, the way that the crowd loved Ricky Starks, it made me just, you know, want him to win this title more than I already did.
My hope is that Texas keeps this energy for the next 7 days because they've got SmackDown, they've got next week's episode, they've got Raw, they got the pay-per-view Money in the Bank. This is a very hot crowd, and it's proof of why crowds matter in wrestling because this was a fine match. I really didn't – nothing to write home about, but the crowd makes it mean so much more when they pop because Ricky wins. And Team Taz is whole now because they've got the belt. They don't have Brian Cage, but maybe that's better. They don't need him. And I loved everything about this.
Powerhouse Hobbs busting out the one strap overalls. He didn't come to mess around. That's the decision that he made, and a good one. This match took, or this crowd took this match from cool and a nice way to further a story to something that people are going to look back on and they're going to remember. Josh Cardenas says Brian Cage looked annoyed that he wasn't cheered. I get the feeling if he didn't know that he wasn't going to get cheered, Alex, I don't know what he was thinking. This is Texas. Ricky Starks is getting cheered in Texas.
All right. Well, he lays claim to like the Wrestle Circus thing in Austin. Like it's kind of his.
Yeah.
I get that. It's totally different. But I do think that him breaking away from Team Taz makes him the baby face, except for the fact that this was done in Starks' hometown. So that got a huge baby face reaction when he got screwed out of the title. The other thing about it that was weird is like they keep saying, oh, it all went according to plan. So that one moment when Ricky Starks went over and tried to take the belt, but Hobbs wouldn't let him, that was part of the plan. But then he turned right around into a big move from Cage, which might have won Cage the match. So that's a really stupid part of the plan. If the part of the plan is to take the belt away from him, if you're just going to hit him with the belt 2 minutes later. But it doesn't matter because the crowd loved it. It got a huge reaction. It's super over. I don't know what you go from here, how this whole angle plays in cities that aren't Ricky Starks' home place. That's the only thing for me.
Me, in situations like this, AEW needs to have a plan A, plan B.
Yeah.
Treat so much of this like it's Canada, USA, 97 type of stuff. Like, you're going to get cheered some places. You're going to get booed some places. You don't have to insult the fans' intelligence based on one week and say, all you people, you don't have to do all that.
Yeah.
But this was a very unique, special moment that I'm never going to forget. Ricky Starks is a star. And I loved this Cody Rhodes, Malachi Black segment. Cody Rhodes comes out screaming at the announce table, emotional. He's like, you want to fight me? Fight me. Don't hit. I love what he says, what my wife says to her students. We don't do that. Like that. And Alex, I'm sure you've got a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
We don't do that. That's the way that you,
we don't do that.
You don't single that one person out.
Nope.
You better not do that. We don't do that. Mm-mm. Because that's how we collectively act. Malachi Black doesn't give a damn how you collectively act. This was two people that wanted to fight each other. And we're going to see more of it later, a lot of it later, and I love it. Cody is emotional, and I know it's cliche, the white suit, the black suit. I know it is, but I don't care. It made for a great contrast. Malachi Black came on, said some silly shit that I didn't really pay any attention to, but the lights went off, the lights came back on. Like, I'm sorry, I listened to enough of those promos in WWE.
Right.
See what I mean? Ray gets it.
Black watched a man kill a horse, and you're just talking about it like it's no big deal, Sean. How dare you? But first, God bless the fact
that MMA fighters that eat horses. What are you talking about?
God bless the fact that Cody Rhodes is back. Cody Rhodes is back from the Codyverse. I hope he never travels there again. This was so much fun. And they're not afraid to fight each other. Too often you see too many people who are like, yeah, I'll fight you, but not tonight. No, they're not afraid to fight each other. I want to see more of it. I hope it stays this good because Cody has been shitty for like the last 6 months.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about QT in a bit, but this is so far removed from the Codyverse, Alex.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Sometimes I do several podcasts a week, and sometimes I'll be like, no, I can't wear that T-shirt. I know I just washed it, but I can't wear that one. I wore it the last time that I did a podcast. I don't want it to look weird that I'm wearing the same shirt back to back. I think about those kind of things. Did Cody think about maybe not wearing the exact same suit he wore last week? Because it looks like he had been kept in like frozen in stasis in carbonite since last week. And then he wakes up and immediately goes, hey, Aleister Malachi Black, what are you doing? Like the trope of, I'm so angry about this thing you did last week that I've got to come out here, throw on a headset, and yell about it. I would have liked if there had been something to like perk him up to make him talk about it the way he was doing. But I did love his, you know what? Nah, I'll drop the headset. Give me a mic. I'm going to do this in the ring and call him out. I liked that thought process there. And I did enjoy Malakai Black's talk about what it is like to kill a horse.
I just heard so many of them. I was
No, I understand. But I did love his take off the glasses and gesture with him like he's a professor. I thought all that was great. I did also love, oh, yes, I will be coming down to the ring as I just immediately bamf there. That was great.
Valab says that what chant getting shut down made the Black Cody segment great. Yeah. I mean, Cody is, I was done seeing him at Daly's place. I'll say that much, but I'm glad that he's over elsewhere because you get stuff like this. Aaron Entertainment says he's glad no one knocked on Black's door. Seems like we're getting rewarded for that now, but at the time we didn't. Chris Rain says first time in a while I've enjoyed a Cody Rhodes segment.
Yes.
I liked last week's as well. I mean, him being a part of it. But yeah, it does feel like we are removed from the Codyverse, and I'm just so freaking happy. Kevin Steet says, tonight showed why so many people cheer Cody no matter what. The right opponent, a live crowd, he's one of the best. Robert, I am immediately invested in this. This is a big-time match. This is two people that want to fight, and hell yeah.
Yeah, and they did something with him and with Kenny where they said, I hope I don't overstep my power. They are referencing that they are EVPs, and that makes it more real. I just enjoy this so much more than I'm going to fight you because we're in the Nightmare family. It just means so much more.
We've got Charlie Davis saying, I'm so happy Malakai went right to calling Cody out for being boring and not having it anymore. How perfect. What an incredible show between that and the Hangman main event. Yeah, even though I did dismiss a lot of what Malakai said, it was very similar to WWE to me, but there was substance there. There was a lot of substance there. Meanwhile, the ones that he was cutting in a boiler room in WWE, it's like, they don't really have anything for me, and this is our way of killing a few weeks. Mm-hmm. This was outstanding stuff, guys. Just really great. Ricardo says, all you people do a great job. Keep it up. And Luis loves the white suit versus black suit thing. Balear Lasagna says 11 out of 10 show, only enhanced by the crowd and Twitter trolls trying to make mental leaps across Springfield Gorge to find something to complain about. Sam Stahl says Moxley, Arn, JR, and Hangman are going to have 15-minute promos talking about mowers and lawn care. That sounds like fun. I mean, not on Dynamite, but you put that on BTE, I'll watch. Watch the hell out of that, man. So let's talk about QT Marshall. The Nightmare Factory family, I don't know what the hell it is right now. Factory, I think, is backstage. And I thought QT's promo was very WWE delivery. Oh, you're going to hit me, are you? What are you going to do? You're going to hit me? And then he pours a protein shake on him. This was probably my least favorite thing of the show.
Yeah, I think this was terrible. This felt really out of place. This would have felt almost out of place on Monday Night Raw. I mean, this just doesn't seem necessary, and it really doesn't feel important on this show. I don't do it again.
Yeah. Alex, anything?
No, this was, they had an awesome opportunity to just let this one go. Just let QT go. Keep him off of TV for a few weeks. Let it go. Bring him back with some other angle to do something else you want to. Or here's the other thing. They can have Komuroto and Solo cut the dead weight. We don't respect you anymore, so we're leaving. Just keeping this thing going every week is, I don't think, a great use of their time.
Or just say, hey, I lost to Cody, but my guys are going to get respect because they're going to go after championships.
Sure. Done.
Yeah. Backstage promo where Jericho's telling MJF he doesn't care who he has face him, anything like that. MJF and Sean Spears attack Chris Jericho. And MJF is like, you're going to face Sean Spears. The stipulation is he can use a chair. You can't. And they hit him with a chair. To me, this was simple. MJF is a great smarmy prick. It didn't take up much time, but it forwarded something that was going to happen and is going to stretch out over the next 6-7 weeks until All Out.
Right.
This made all the sense in the world to me, Alex.
Yes. I was holding out hope that MJF was going to do, now you got to face all of your friends and beat them in especially brutal matches. I thought maybe he's holding out for like the final match. Is Jericho's got to beat the hell out of Sammy Guevara or something. This is all well and good until you realize that what they're doing is going to stack the odds more and more against Chris Jericho, and then Chris Jericho is going to overcome those odds, and it's just going to be completely unbelievable by the time we got to the fourth match. Like, it's going to be like, Jericho versus Wardlow in a Jericho has to fight with both arms tied behind his back match, and he somehow beats Wardlow. Like, I don't want to watch that. That's stupid.
What this is going to boil down to is, hey, the inner circle's so close. Wow, did you see how Sammy used a chair to help Chris Jericho win? Did you see how Proud and Powerful helped him beat FTR? Right. I get it. I know where they're going. I just hope the right decision is made in the end of this feud.
Yeah, I mean, I fear that Jericho goes over MJF. MJF should go over Chris Jericho. MJF should beat, like, he should beat everybody, to be honest with you.
He should.
He should just beat everybody. He should be that guy that is such a dick, and you hate him even more because he's as good as he says he is.
Yes.
Yeah. Tully Blanchard backstage talking to Alex Marvez as he's leaving, and they come across Santana and Ortiz. They pretend they're going to attack him, but they don't. And Blanchard's like, hey, yeah, I'm getting my guys. So, again, this is just something to extend things. A feud they planned for a very long time, Robert.
Elder abuse, Sean. What is this?
Okay, it's elder abuse. Yes.
You're just like teasing, beating up this poor old man. Why aren't FTR with him, by the way? What are we doing here? Why do you leave him alone?
They threatened to beat an old man to death with a crowbar. Baby faces!
Who among us hasn't?
That's true. That's true. I did last week. I forgot. I'm a hypocrite. I forgot.
Yeah. Come on.
Fun, but ridiculous.
While we're on the subject of promos, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, comes out, and Alex, she's pretty good at this promo thing.
She's so good.
As it turns out, she's got a giant babyface reaction, but I would not waver. It doesn't matter. Just have her do exactly what she's doing against faces, against heels. And my favorite thing, she's like, I'm not afraid of Nyla Rose. I'm going to beat her. I'm not scared of her. That's not what this is about. And I like that. She's not playing chicken shit heel. She's playing best wrestler in AEW. And she tells Vicky Guerrero that she's... let me preface this. She goes, you know what's crazy? That Nyla Rose is relevant. Fortunately, Vicky Guerrero has a last name that will always keep her relevant. Ooh! Mm. And then they cut back to Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero, who probably cut the best promos they've had in AEW by far. I thought that cutting to them was a good idea. This was a home run straight to finish straight through. Chris Reigns says she continues to kill it with her promos every week. This was on fire, Alex.
Yeah, no, I'm so in love with Britt Baker as this champion. Like she's as you said, she's a heel who's super over with the crowd. They just love everything that she does, but she's not healing the crowd, because here's the thing. I always feel like egomaniacal heels shouldn't like say to the crowd, what are you doing cheering me? You shouldn't cheer me. Why are you cheering? Like, no, they should be like basking in the adulation any way they can get it, because
I deserve this.
I deserve all the love you're giving me. Thank you. I love me too, actually. I think that that's great that she's like, just, she's not doing an all you people. You never supported me, and so therefore I don't like.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You. Like, even though, if there's one person, like, rooted in real, she got hammered so hard on social media, she was not checking her social media for a long time. Brandon Charles Powell says, from the time Britt Baker got hurt till now, it's amazing to see what she's become, and she keeps getting better and better. I mean, this is something that we were saying on the first reviews of AEW Dynamite. Even though she was Adam Cole's girlfriend, even though she was the first signing, even though she did All Out, you want to go back and see how much TV experience she had, because it wasn't much. But she was still one of the most prominent indie women's names out there. And she has stepped up. The experience has paid off. And the cream's rose at the top, Robert.
Her and Sting are in an elite level to where nobody else is doing those interviews outside of Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone will talk to Sting. He'll talk to Britt Baker. She is that good. It's been wonderful to watch the journey. Now I'm ready to see where she goes after Nyla, because that's where the money is.
Yes, and that's what Britt said in her promo.
Yeah.
She goes, it is embarrassing that I'm facing Nyla. And she goes, I know what you're going to say. She's beaten me before. DJ Brian C says, did you catch her In-N-Out Burger reference? I did not,
actually. That's not.
Charlie Davis says, Britt reminds me of Kenny Omega in 2016. Well, I mean, that was when Kenny Omega was jumping from, like, if you all want to see some good stuff, the really genesis of Kenny Omega, it's right after he turned on AJ Styles. And there were people of influence that are like, I don't know if Kenny's the guy. And to me, once you saw him hit that one-winged angel and cut that promo about how he starved himself to make junior heavyweight just so AJ Styles could be the heavyweight champion, whew, that was some good stuff right there. It just makes me so happy to see everybody on the road and all that stuff. And I'm hitting the road this weekend going to Nashville. But, guys, I'm going to miss my bed while I'm in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, Nashville is a city that doesn't sleep, but I'm going to get some sleep. I just don't know how good my sleep's going to be now that I'm not home without my Helix sleep mattress. Ugh. I love my Helix sleep mattress. I mean, on the road, it's tough enough to sleep, and I haven't had to deal with that for almost a year now because of helixsleep.com/Fightful. They have a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete, and it matches your body type to the sleep preferences that work for you. Look, all three of us are up here now. This is like we're all bonding here. Exactly. Last year, I was dealing with some really rough back neck issues, and I wanted a mattress that supported me more than the slab of memory foam I was sleeping on. So I wanted a mattress shop, but I did not want to go to a mattress store. One, I quite frankly didn't have as much time, and I didn't want to roll around on a mattress that a bunch of people already had been rolling around on. You know, Maysville, Kentucky, sweat hogs. You don't want to do that. Gross. Sick. So I found Helix Sleep. I took their quiz. I was matched to the Dusk Luxe mattress because I wanted something that was a little bit firm, a little bit soft. And I was only a back sleeper then. Now I can also sleep on my side because their mattress was so right for me. And that slab of memory foam I was on before that I ordered off Amazon years ago, that didn't really have the customization that this had. They even have Helix Plus mattresses for plus size folks. They've got soft, medium, firm mattresses that cool you down. If you're looking for a mattress, take the quiz, order it, and it comes right to your door, shit for free. You don't have to go to the mattress store again. They are the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired magazine, and most importantly, Fightful magazine. Go to helixsleep.com/Fightful. Take their 2-minute quiz. and you get up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows. I ordered their two pillows, and they are so great. They're formable, if that makes any sense. Like, I'm able to use them in a variety of ways. Like, if I want my neck up high, I want my neck low, it shifts to kind of what you want at that point. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. They have a 10-year warranty. And if you get it, you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. If you don't like it, they'll come and pick it up for you. You don't even have to worry about it. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Manny Antonio says, I went to the show, took my brother who hates wrestling. By the end of the show, he lost his voice and bought us tickets to Dallas. No one was sitting during the main event. Electrifying atmosphere. That's what AEW has, Robert. Look in that crowd. There is a whole lot of 18 to 40 year olds in that crowd.
With AEW, I always go back to one moment where I was told by a cousin of mine, oh, you know, wrestling, that's back now, as if wrestling has ever stopped over the last 60, 70, 80 years. And that's AEW because it's got a new energy about it and people love it.
We got Bob Harris saying Jungle Boy heel turn. I would be shocked. Never. I think he'll be a babyface for a very long time. I think Luchasaurus will eventually go heel. Because when you look at the landscape, like, Luchasaurus was the guy in that act, and now he's there. He's there. Mm-hmm. We had a match between Yuka Sakazaki and Penelope Ford. This one didn't do it for me. I wasn't a fan of this match. There was a lot of times when Yuka was like just hamming it up to the crowd ringside and all that stuff. It was off for me. There were some cooperation spots. Like, the pins didn't seem like aggressive enough. This just wasn't it for me. But you have to put women on TV and you have to establish new women. You have to get the ball rolling on that. And if this were on any other Dynamite, maybe I wouldn't be just like, eh. Maybe I would think that it was better than it was. I also don't like the letting each other punch each other thing. I always hate that. I don't care who does it. I don't care if it's the toughness thing. I don't give a shit about that. I think it's dumb within the context of a match. You're trying to win. Drew Lytle says he wants Britt versus Sakazaki down the line. They have a history with Britt kicking her teeth in. They need to tell that story, Alex. Well, what did you think of this match and a potential Yuka Sakazaki Britt Baker match?
I hear great things about Yuka Sakazaki. I don't see great things about Yuka Sakazaki. Like, yeah. She's just not my cup of tea. This match wasn't for me either. I was thinking, if you're going to have this Nyla Rose and Britt Baker match, maybe instead of having Nyla Rose stand backstage watching a promo, then cut a promo of her own, have her squash somebody at like 45 seconds, like, prove that she is the beast 1 week before she takes on the champ or something like this. So I think you could do that in addition to this, but this being the only women's match on the card in the spot where it was, didn't feel like, you know, they have, where's Tenera Conti? Like, where's Swole and Diamante are doing something on Dark and Elevation where they're doing a whole feud over there, cutting promos on each other. Like, do some stuff there. Make a secondary feud where the winner of that feud is in prime position to get the next title shot against Britt Baker. Do that with your one woman's match a week if you're not going to involve the champ involved.
It feels like about once a year, Yuka Sakazaki has a match in Japan that I look at and I go, oh my God, that she's... Yeah. She's going to be something big, like Mizuki Yamashita. She had a great one a couple of years ago with Nakajima, but it isn't consistent for me. I haven't seen that in AEW yet. She had a really great match with Emi Sakura. She had a good one with Ryo Mizunami in AEW, but I just haven't seen it in AEW to a consistent degree yet.
So here's my problem with this. That super chat that we got about Britt kicking her teeth in was the most interested I've been in seeing Yuka Sakazaki win. I don't know why she won. Penelope Ford's been there throughout the entire pandemic. This looks to the casual fan like, oh, here they go again with the Joshi. when you have all these women who have been here throughout the entire pandemic. It's Nyla Rose and the Joshi. That seems to be an issue that I hope they rectify.
Anakin says, do you know why TNT sometimes stops picture-in-picture during commercials? They did it for Ford Yuka. Yeah. That's just a part of the agreements, I think, for some of those. Yeah, and somebody asked what I thought of Sheeta's reign. I thought Sheeta was great. I thought Sheeta did awesome. It's a matter of them booking her better. They didn't book Hikaru Shida very well. She would just disappear. She would just vanish, and she should have been featured way, way more. Way, way more. Somebody says Yuka is over Ford, isn't it? It's simple. No, it's not. I didn't hear the crowd going as wild as people are pretending there, especially in comparison to what I mean. This crowd making noise does not mean that somebody is super over. We heard what it's like when somebody's super over tonight. Dante wants Maki Ito in front of AEW crowds. Right. She's one she would have to work on her in-ring as far as that, unless you know they continued just her losing all the time. All the time. Anakin says, Britt saying Nyla may be top of the food chain, but she's off the menu was gold. Oh, that was really good as well. That was good. What else we have here? Oh, Wheeler Yuta against Sammy Guevara. This was a pretty solid match. Wheeler Yuta is the belle of the ball right now. He's been in ROH, New Japan, AEW. He had a WWE tryout recently, as we reported on FightfulSelect.com. Guys, listen, I see your thing saying they were chanting Yuka a lot, but like I said, compare that to the pops and the chants that we were hearing for other people on this show. Like there being like kind of some chants and kind of some reactions compared to super, 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 super over. And somebody says, my friends who only watch wrestling love you. I mean, you can like her. What do I care?
Yeah, like I'm not saying Yuka's bad. I'm just saying to some it might look like, hey, what about Penelope?
I didn't like the match. Yeah. I didn't say I didn't like Yuka Sakazaki. Jesus. I said I didn't like the match. I thought the match wasn't good. That's it.
God.
But anyway, Wheeler Yuta, he's been everywhere. And he's earned it. Man, the guy is working his ass off. He has been working like crazy, going everywhere that he can, promoting himself really, really well. And we see Sammy Guevara out there, and I almost forgot that they were even like booking this match, and I was a little bit puzzled. I was like, man, Sammy the babyface. But then when Sammy beat him, he did do the little you did good kid. I don't know if I'd be doing the Sammy, you did good kid type of thing, because Sammy's still super young, Alex.
Yeah.
But yeah. What would you think of this? I like the match. I love the match. And Sammy is super over.
Yeah. And I think Wheeler's got some amazing stuff that he does. I'm very intrigued to see where he goes. Not only like where he signs, because I think that's kind of still up in the air, but like what he does in the next couple of years. It's very interesting. Sammy also is on a white hot streak. Like he's super over as this mega baby face. And this is kind of why I wanted him, the Inner Circle, to break up, because I saw the writing on the wall for where Sammy was going to go in front of crowds. And when he's still mired in this whole Chris Jericho is the most important guy in this 10-man feud, then he can't break out of that and go somewhere like you. When you see what he can do and how he's connecting to the fans and how the fans are super in love with this guy, you should be able to say, okay, we're calling an audible. We're going to figure out a way to get Sammy and Miro into a match for the TNT title and put that belt on Sammy, because Miro's amazing, but the guy who beats him is going to get a huge rub. Like you could do something there or something, but him just like, I'm going to beat this guy, Wheeler Yuta. But also most importantly, I'm Chris Jericho's best friend. I feel like he's much bigger than that already. Anytime they keep him in this other thing without like strapping a rocket to him, might just be time wasted.
Yeah.
Robert?
Couldn't agree more. I don't know how I feel about the placement of Yuta with Best Friends, because nobody's going to replace Trent. And I think that group is already enough of a hodgepodge that he can do his own thing. But Yuta should be signed by AEW or really anywhere, because he's fantastic. One of the best in the world right now.
Yep, he's killing it. And while we're on the subject of killing it, holy crap. Dark Order, Elite, Hangman Page comes out. He runs down his history, and he's about to challenge for the world title. And Don Callis, that weasel, interrupts him. And I did in my head, I was like, you weasel. Like, in a heel way. I was like, then I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, they've sold me a ticket here. And this is a ticket I've been waiting to be sold. If you guys have listened to this show for a year, we've seen it. And we all see it coming. And we know he's going to win the title. And we can't wait for it because it's a good story, Alex. And Kenny Omega's out there and he is like, no. No, we won't do that. And Hangman Page has another idea. He goes, all right, you want your five against our five? Well, how about we do this? How about we do, they get a tag title shot, I get a world title shot, if we go about that way. Now, I don't think these two should touch until All Out. So I saw a lot of people suggesting, well, what if Omega's not in it? Like Nakazawa or Cutler are in it. Alex, this is awesome.
Yeah, it really is. And there's a really great way of booking that, especially if it was Nakazawa or Cutler, who's in the match instead of Omega. Because they get eliminated immediately. Because Paige can just do it immediately because he's so angry at Omega for not being in the match. Like, Omega can like be like, oh, you know what? I woke up this morning. I had a crick in my neck. I think I slept wrong. So I'm not going to be able to compete tonight. Not cleared. But Nakazawa is going to compete for me. And then Paige immediately eliminates him. And then you can work your way slowly with the Bucks and Gallows and Anderson working their way through all of the Dark Order buddies until it's just Paige who's trying valiantly to do the whole thing to win not only for himself but the other guys. And if that's the reason that he doesn't get his title shot until All Out, if they have to put it off because how are you going to do it? You want to do it at All Out, right? You want to do it at the biggest possible show, pay-per-view. You don't want to have to do it at Fyter Fest. You do it there. Well, how do you extend until that point? Some kind of a natural until they come up with this particular thing. That was all so great. And I did love Omega being like, no, you can't put that on the line until Callis is like, no. If he loses his title shot, which is just such a great moment for Omega to hear Callis whisper that to him and completely change his demeanor. It was all so great.
Robert, this was good
stuff.
Yeah.
We've got Terrence saying, call me crazy, but the Hangman Omega segment reminded me of peak Attitude Era WWE. The crowd was into the story and the stipulations, both of which are great, Robert.
It's funny. You do a simple story with simple stakes that everyone can understand, and it's money. It just really is. All these guys were friends. Hangman was always the odd one out because he was never the five-star guy. He wasn't the ex-WWE guy. He's just Hangman. And now he can make himself even more of a star. And on top of that, little detail, he said the Dark Order doesn't back down from a challenge, essentially grouping himself in for the first time with that group. And now it's like, oh, is he a member of the Dark Order? Has it finally happened? Great segment all around.
We have some super chats, including from our friend Billy Buttlicker, who says, after the Hangman match, do you think Elite will get involved with Bullet Club, especially with Good Brothers returning to New Japan? Yes, I think that's been quietly tabled for now. We don't see Tama talking all that trash anymore. But, buddy, when they ignite it again, it will. And one of the things, the intricacies I love about this story is Hangman is not absolved from blame. Without a doubt, like, he separated himself from them. Like, there are equal parts blame. I don't want to say equal parts, but there is shared blame in the dissolution of this relationship and this friendship and all that. And Kenny Omega making those terrible belt collector chants, like, intentionally bad. Oh, it was so good. Charlie Davis says Omega unhinged laughter spilling out of him when Hangman challenged him in the box. Yes. Like, these intricacies are really, really good. And like, it's not subtle whatsoever, but it is in a way. I Am Lucha says the anticipation and buildup for Hangman Kenny has me blue chew strong in my pants.
Wow.
The Dark Order Elite feud can absolutely get as hot as Tribal Chief. I know that's a hot take, but I can't deny writing. Well, I mean, I think the Tribal Chief thing has cooled off a lot, but I still enjoy it. I mean, it doesn't have to be white hot for me to enjoy it. But yeah, I think this is going to be one of the hottest storylines of the year, period. We've got Eloquent saying, what do you think headlines the Arthur Ashe show? I thought for a while it might be FTR, LAX in some sort of big match, but I don't think so now. I think they're going to go for something big and special, Robert. What are you thinking?
Maybe. Sometimes in wrestling, babyface champions don't last. Maybe Hangman just loses to MJF. You know, maybe that's the headliner.
Yeah. Jeffrey Burns says Hangman and Kenny and the 5-on-5 never end at the same time. If they're even both in it. Are you all with me there? I think they shouldn't touch. I think when they are across from each other and the championship introductions are being read at All Out, it should be a special moment. Like,
yeah.
That. Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, get your super chats in. We are headed towards the end of the show. My gosh, there's just so much good stuff on this show. And it was capped off with a hell of a main event. Holy crap. Let me make sure. Did I miss anything? I don't think I missed anything. Darby Allin defeated Ethan Page. And this was a sprint, and it was a fun one. And they fishhooked each other with, like, the turnbuckle. Sting came out. We missed a Stinger splash. That sucked. But he hurt Scorpio Sky's balls as Jesus watched on from the crowd. There was an Ego's Edge off the second rope. Holy crap, man.
This was a gnarly match. This was
Robert, what did you think?
This was everything you could have wanted, and it didn't overstay its welcome. It's different than an Undertaker casket match. This was just a small wooden coffin. Scorpio Sky was hiding in it. They did manage to do that, but it wasn't anything egregious. It was just two guys who wanted to kick the crap out of each other and did, and Darby Allin in all of his pop punk glory rode a skateboard on the back of Darby Allin and threw him in the coffin and then jumped onto the coffin because, well, why wouldn't you? When you're Darby Allin and you're emo for life because it's not a phase, you're just jumping into coffins because you don't care. Love it.
Amazing. And the way it collapsed and all that. And Ethan Page going from where he was, a great tag team wrestler last year, to being very frustrated with his financial situation and Impact, to main eventing one of the most memorable dynamites in recent memory, Alex. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. This whole thing was wild. From the guy who was obviously trying to be like 1994 Undertaker leading the pallbearers, carrying the casket. You notice that guy with the long black hair streaming over his face? That was great. And then Scorpio Sky jumps out, starts beating up Darby Allin, of course, wearing the Bret Hart memorial plate, not on the front, but on the back. Then Scorpio Sky jumps out, starts beating up Darby Allin, and Sting comes out and says, "You boys leave my son alone." And then he beats the whole thing with Scorpio Sky. And I feel like somebody, one of the producers, gotten Ethan Page's ear before the show and says, "Okay, Ethan, so right after the Scorpio and Sting run-in bit, we're going to go with picture-in-picture. So during that time, don't feel like you got to kill yourself. Just, you know, just do a few simple things around the ring. Don't, I mean, you don't need to like go into the crowd and like do some crazy spot over like the crossbar thing. And you don't need to like toss him off of the stage. Please don't do that." And Ethan Page is like, "Read you loud and clear, boss. I know what I'm going to do during picture-in-picture." Because most of that crazy crowd stuff happened while it was picture-in-picture. There was no sound.
Yes.
But then when you see the Darby, he's like, "Oh, he's going to go up and do the coffin drop across the steps in the ring." Like, "Oh, no, don't do that." And then Ethan Page gets up, takes him out there and does the Ego's Edge off the second rope onto the steps. I'm just like, Darby, your spine. You are going to be 35 years old and walking around like you're 70. You have to just take one or two fewer bumps like that, man. Then the one where he puts him in the coffin and he goes up completely unnecessarily to a coffin drop through the coffin top. Like, do you think he knew it was made of balsa wood? Because, like, if that was made of anything sturdy, he would have killed himself before he would have gone on to Ethan. The whole thing was amazing to watch. It was just so stupid in all the most delightful ways. I loved it.
Robert.
Just perfect. You couldn't ask for anything more. This is gimmicky in the best way possible. And Darby Allin is a star. One day, they're going to put the world title on him, and he doesn't need to be champion for long. But when he gets that belt, it's going to mean the world because he is a bona fide star.
Oh, man, this was a hell of a main event, and him doing that extra coffin drop, just it was so good. We have a bunch of super chats to get through. Intangible One says, tonight was a good night to have corn on the cob with melted butter because Darby had butter disregard for his back. He's trying to out-hardy Jeff. Yeah, he's definitely doing different kinds of bumps than what Jeff did, but Jeff's done some pretty crazy ones as well. Aaron Entertainment said, we knew Jesus was a wrestling fan. Well, I mean, his father wrestled at Backlash 2006. So, yeah, of course. And I'm pretty sure God went to Jesus and said, listen, I don't want you involved in the wrestling business. It's too hard on your body. Evan Wright says, I said that Super Elite versus Hangman, Uno, Silver, and Reynolds. I saw somebody post, like, wait till it comes down to Hangman and John Silver against all five. Ooh. That is good story right there. That is really fun stuff. Josh Cardenas thinks it'll be Young Bucks versus Proud and Powerful for the tag titles in New York. I could see that.
Could be.
I could see that happening as well. Ken Shiro says, do we see a New Japan debut after the match next week? I don't know, Alex. What do you think?
Maybe. Maybe there's a lot of really cool stuff we could do there. I think that we're going to see every week Dynamite is going to put out all the stops leading up through Fight for the Fallen all the way to All Out. They're just going to say, you know what, screw it, we're just going balls to the wall, balls galore, that's what we're doing.
Lance Archer last week beat the crap out of Dan Lambert's got a friend in Tom Waller who is the New Japan Strong Openweight Champion. Lance Archer happens to get by, or maybe he even doesn't need to. Maybe we see Dan Lambert pull up with Filthy Tom.
Anakin says, Jesus got nails put through his hands and feet and spear right into his side. Taking a bump would be a piece of cake. Listen, he had Shawn Michaels help, but he didn't win the match. I don't know what to tell you, buddy. I don't know what to tell you. He was selling hard on that day.
That's right.
You know, I didn't say it wouldn't be. You trying to tell me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball? No, I'm not. I'm telling you. He put the McMahons over on that day. Jack Murphy says, Jay White's in the U.S. till September. Give it to me. I think that's got to be like a quick rushed thing. Jay White is, to me, one of the people that can out son of a bitch MJF, to where people on the roster are like, who is the son of a bitch we can get to match him? And they're like, MJF. Uh-huh. Bryson says, just got out of Dynamite in Austin. How did we sound on TV? We tried to be loud as possible. What a show. You were very loud, although yeah. People in the chat are pretending like we said that you were crickets for Yuka Sakazaki. you all were very loud. only in wrestling can you say, hey, I didn't like this match. Here are seven more that she had that I liked. And someone says, oh, they're hating on Joshi. Please. Sawyer says, felt like Omega's belt collector chant was improvised on the spot. Looked like he popped himself and Paige with it. It was so bad that I loved it, Alex.
No, it was great. I love it. It's like, I don't want to hear any more cowboy shit. What I want to hear is belt collector, because he realized he doesn't have a real nickname they can go to. Like, he's like, let's go cleaner. Like, if he had one more minute, he could have come up with a much better chant for himself. But you know what? The bad chant works better than if he came up with a good one.
But he's got the Terminator chant.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
It's the best one. But, I love it. Oh, man.
It felt like he was going to say, I can't wait to see cowboy shit become chicken shit. But he couldn't remember what he was supposed to say and just said, belt collector. And it made the segment that much better.
Intangible One says, the Jesus dude needs to get a picture with Miro. If I were Miro, I would. I would. Jack Murphy says, guys, that was one of the best wrestling TV shows I've ever seen. God, that was good. This company isn't perfect, but it really doesn't let me down. I mean, hey, there's going to be things on any show that we don't like, even if we love the promotion, the program, any of that stuff. But my God, guys, this was one hell of a show. Like, there was almost nothing that I was like, man, this is outright bad. Even the stuff that I didn't like, outside of the QT Marshall thing, even the stuff that I wasn't crazy about, like Sakazaki and Penelope Ford, I'm like, I see why they did it. I see why they're building this. I see why they're going this direction. So, man, this was a fire show. Alex, tell the people what you got going on.
I do the Sour Graps review on Fightful Select, where I talk about Raw usually on Tuesdays and SmackDown usually on Saturdays. But this is a pay-per-view weekend, so maybe on Friday I'll do the SmackDown thing that night. Then I also do the post NXT show on Tuesdays on the regular YouTube. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of crazy moves being made in NXT. People being called up to NXT and dragged down to the main roster. And there's all kinds of things going back and forth. I do a lot of impressions. It's a lot of fun.
Robert, you are going to be filling in for me on Friday along with Jeremy Lampert. Of course, we got Slammiversary Saturday. We got Money in the Bank Sunday. There's so much stuff going on.
Yes, I am going to be filling in with the Booty Pro mastermind, Jeremy Lampert, who hosted a wonderful press conference yesterday. And then I'll be live next week with Pineapple Pete. Other than that, every day I'm over here writing articles. I'm also in Fightful Magazine. I reviewed SummerSlam 88. It's great. Check it out. Follow me on Twitter and everywhere else at Dude Felice, and I'll be here next time.
Guys, there's so much stuff we got going on. Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. There's so much great stuff. MetFan1391 wraps us up and says, any chance we'd see Miro go after Archer if Archer wins next week? Miro did say, if you have a belt, you have a problem. Man, I think that at this point, Miro would do about anything to get into Japan. He wants to work in Japan.
Yeah.
Really, really bad. But guys, thank you all so much. Check out FightfulSelect.com. We've got all kinds of exclusive news there. There's a lot of talk. I don't know why I said that Robert was filling in this Friday. It's Joel Pearl. I'm getting.
Oh, we did it again.
Yes, we did.
Jesus.
Oh, amazing. It's Joel Pearl on the Friday show.
Yeah, the hell with me. Joel will be a lot of fun.
I'm dumb. I'm going to Nashville. I'm going to hang out with my friend who hosts the Church of Joshi podcast, Kayla. Make sure you guys
like Joshi.
Gotta put on the happy face, man. Doing the Maki Ito interviews and when Stardom came to the U.S. and I was the only person in America that interviewed any other talent, had to just pretend, man. Guys, thank you all so much. Joel Pearl filled in for listing your boy today, even. Oh, go to hell, Joel Pearl.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.